Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? This is Matt here from FlipWeekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast, a podcast all about reselling, going to thrift stores, ob shops, garage sales, Facebook Marketplace, trying to find stuff that we can make some money on. And holy shit, we have the biggest flip of all time for me personally. Think about all of the items I've sold in the past. We've been able to turn, you know, a dollar into $100, $5 into $200. This surpasses every single one of those deals. And we're not talking about going to a private garage sale. We aren't talking about a commission-based item that, you know, your best friend has given you, really valuable collectibles that you can then sell, take half their money. We're talking about an item that was found in a thrift store, in a Vinnie's op shop, where they scan presumably every single item to see if they can just suck some profit from these donations. Somehow we were able to find something that was worth insane money. I'm not kidding. When the sale came in on my phone, my jaw was dropped. First of all, I couldn't believe that I had something worth this much money in my house. And second of all, I couldn't believe that anybody would pay this amount of money for what these were. You know, I'm wanting to get into all of that. I think this week we'll actually start with what I sold segment. I'm doing that because I'm just so excited about this sale, but also because I am the complete opposite. I am extremely afraid of something I'm going to, I guess, give to you. Give is probably the wrong way, the wrong word. Something that I'm going to show you once we get to what I bought. You need to stay around for that. It may be the most embarrassing thing that I've ever done, but we'll get into that. We'll get into what I bought. We'll get into the crux of what I sold. And you know, we're not talking about garage sales this week either. That's long gone. We're all back, 100% back into the thrift stores, into the Facebook Marketplace finds. So let's just get straight into it, because this sale, man, like I said to you, we found this in a Vinnie's thrift store, and this was about 6 months ago. It honestly feels like such a long time ago. I can't believe that it was actually this year. And so I went into a Vinnie's, which is about 30 minutes away from me. I found some good stuff in this Vinnie's in the past. You know, I found the Captain Planet DVDs that sold for $200. I found a huge bag of vintage He-Man. Is He-Man and Master of the Universe the same thing? He-Man Motu bag of just action figures that were worth, I don't know, like a lot of money. So they do have some good stuff, but you know Vinnie's, you know most op shops, they're keeping all the good shit to themselves, or they're offloading it somewhere else. They're not putting it out on the floor. But somehow we were able to walk in. We go straight to the left. We bypass all the women's clothes to my own detriment, and we see the book section, you know. Books somehow are my number one category. I don't know how I'm a, I guess I'm a bookseller, right? I don't typically focus on books. It's just where I found a lot of cool stuff. This deal though is better than all the book deals that I've found in the past. I'm not sure if I talked about on the podcast. We sold the Ringing Cedars book series for like $900. We sold the Sarah Maas Court of Thorns and Roses series for, I don't know, $500. We sold the single Abe's Odyssey book in like a day for $500. But this is even bigger than that. So we're in the book section. We're not in the adults' books. We're in the little kids' books. We're in the little kids' books. What are we finding? No, we're not finding Grug. We're not finding Mr. Men Complete Library. We're not finding a Harry Potter book. What else is in the kids' book section? We're not finding a random old Wiggles book. What we found was Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, FlipWeekly.com newsletter readers would know that I have had great success with Sonic in the past, specifically Sega World Sydney. This wasn't Sega World Sydney. This was just Sonic. So I came across this small bundle of Sonic magazines, Sonic comic books. They're very thin. They're like the pocketbooks where they're not huge full-size books. They're just the small versions you can fit in your pocket. And there's 20 of these things. You can easily mistake them for like those free comic books that you see in thrift stores that have just been given out. I mean, do you ever see those in thrift stores where you see a comic and you're like, oh shit, like let's take a look at the comic, and then you see on the front of it like free comic day? This could easily be mistaken for that, but of course it has Sonic the Hedgehog, our beloved Sonic. Sonic that has made us so much money. We see 20 of these Sonic pocketbooks. Now they're called Sonic the Hedgehog Archives. They're called the Archives because in each one of these volumes, there are multiple Sonic comics, maybe three comics per Sonic volume. We found them just sitting there, 0 to 20. Actually, there might be 21 because you have to count 0, right? 0 to 20 Sonic comic books. I see them. I'm like, well, Sonic has done well for me in the past. Let's look them up. When I looked them up, I could not believe what I was seeing. We had comps, active comps, sold comps that, man, they were high. They were so high that I immediately picked these up. They were listed at $3 each. They had $3 each Vinny stickers on them. And I thought, hell yes, I'm buying these. It's going to cost me $60 for all 20 of them. But if these comps are accurate, then we're in for a huge payday. And what did the comps actually look like? Well, I could see an active listing for 25 of these volumes for close to $3,000. That was at the time. At the time on eBay, there was that comp for $3,000. Multiple people watching it, they had a bundle of 25. Here I have issue 0 to 20. What could we do? What could we list them up for? We're competing with $3,000 for 25. What would you list them up for? You tell me. Now, this isn't a comic or a book or a fucking volume that is easy to find. This is something that's very rare. There aren't that many active listings for the bundles. You have a couple of books here and there, but the bundles are where the money is at, because I don't know about you, I do not want to collect things one by one. And I know that's a big thing for collectors. They like to piece things together slowly. It always blows my mind because I'm like, who would want to do that? Wouldn't you want to buy something that's complete? And that's why whenever I sell something incomplete, I'm like, who the fuck is buying this? You're buying something that you're going to have to piece together. But somebody has bought my issue 0 to 20 on eBay after I'd listed it up all the way back in, when did I say June? I listed it up originally, and then over the past, I would say 3 months, I've been slowly reducing the amount. The reason is I want a sale, and I want a sale before Christmas. I want some money. Let's be real. I want some money. So it was slowly being reduced. I'm not shipping to the US right now, so it takes a huge market. We might not be able to get what I originally listed it up for, but we have the sale. It came in. My jaw was on the floor. So the eBay ka-ching goes off, and we see your item, the Sonic the Hedgehog Archive Bundle, has sold for $1,600. $1,600. I paid $60 for what is a bunch of kids' books. A whole bunch of kids' books, 20. These are pocketbooks. They don't even require a giant box to ship them in. They're not that heavy. They could literally, I can hold them within one hand. They are that small. Somebody has paid $1,600 for these. And it's within Australia too. These aren't going to be shipped overseas to some fucking Dubai oligarch. They're staying here within Australia to some small town in rural Victoria. They've paid $1,600. Somebody is getting a really good, or maybe not good, a really fucking expensive Christmas present, right? This has to be a Christmas present. Why would you wait all this time to be spending $1,600 on a couple of books? It's insanity. Insanity. I'm disgusted in these people for paying that much money for these books. You know what I was thinking though? Imagine these are going to a kid. Just some fucking kid that doesn't appreciate, I mean, whatever they are. Little tiny books. How can these kids appreciate these tiny books? I just cannot believe that we've been able to do a $60 into $1,600 from a thrift store. You know, like, we have a lot of 5 into 100, and if we're lucky, maybe like 10 into 200. But to be able to turn 60 into like over $1,000. Like, it blows my mind that there's that value that slips past, I guess, Vinny's volunteers, Vinny's employees, that it was just sitting on the floor waiting for somebody like me to come in and pick them up. I don't know if they had been sitting there for more than a day. I don't know if they, I mean, they mustn't have looked them up, right? I'm in disbelief that we're able to find that amount of value. Like, I go into thrift stores and op shops and I'm not expecting to find anything that's worth anywhere close to like $1,000. You know, we've maxed out before with, I guess they've all been books that we've maxed out with. We did the mug, right? We did that Beanley rum mug for $500, but a lot of it has been books. Have we done video games? I don't know, but it's just, that's so much value in a thrift store. I just can't believe that it made it past. So we have that sale. And one of the things that I was most, relieved with is that we're not sending something that can come back to us with it was broken or something's wrong with it. These are books. As long as they make it there safe within the box with the bubble wrap, there can't be any complaints, right? Like, I was talking to my mum about it and she was saying, oh, that's going to be a bit expensive to ship. I'm like, no, not really, because they're small. They're little pocket books. And she's like, oh, do they know they're small? I'm like, here I am. I'm thinking like, now I'm overthinking. Oh, fuck. Should I have mentioned these are small? Do you usually put dimensions next to books? No. And then, you know, mum being mum is just saying that, oh, no, it's okay. I'm sure they know what they are. And now I'm thinking, you know, this is a person that's told me just before I'm going on Facebook Marketplace pickups, like, don't get murdered. Tell us where you are. So I'm starting to think I'm going to get murdered. So now it's in my head that, do these people know that these books are small? I fucking hope so. At the same time, you know, imagine getting an item not as described because you didn't say a book was small. I guess then you play the fucking lawyer role of like, your version of small is different to my version of small. I haven't got feedback for it. I haven't got a review. I think they've been delivered. I should probably check up on that. Let me check right now for you. Okay, they were delivered. They were delivered yesterday. We don't have feedback yet, but I made sure they were packed well inside a box with plenty of bubble wrap, butcher's paper all around so they can't move. They shouldn't be complaining. I mean, I'm fucking happy. The only reason they can complain is to say that, like, we have buyer's regret, right? They're going to see what the fuck they spend $1,600 on it. Like, this is what we paid? $1,600 for 20 books? What's that? $1,600 divided by 20. Fucking $80 a book. $80 a book. You can buy these individual volumes, I'm pretty sure, for less than that. I mean, there's not that many, but you can get them for less than $80 a book. Fuck me, man. Fuck me. So, what is the rule of thumb here? Well, Sonic the Hedgehog, you'd want to be buying it. You'd want to be picking it up. Sonic books. these aren't just, you know, your run-of-the-mill Kmart Sonic books. If you see a Sonic book in the kids section, chances are it's going to be worth nothing. These Sonic the Hedgehog archives are where the money is at. If you want to see a photo of them, go to flipweekly.com, check out the newsletter, so you don't get excited as soon as you see Sonic on a fucking kid's book. But Sonic has done so well for us in the past. I've actually gone back through all of my orders to give you my top three Sonic the Hedgehog sales. And the first one that we have, this wasn't this week. This is just overall, in total, Sonic the Hedgehog, really good. I found a plush in a Save the Children's op shop back, I mean, this must have been a year ago or so. I found it for $3 and the plush sold for $95. I think I listed it up for $100. So Sonic the Hedgehog plush, you see them everywhere. I saw one just this week in a Savers thrift store. They're not all created equal. Make sure you're checking the tags. Make sure you're doing your comps. Make sure they don't have that really generic made in China tag that every fucking unlicensed plush has. You need to make sure that they're licensed. The other one that I sold of Sonic, the number two Sonic sale, was a Sega World Sydney hat that I found in a Salvos for $2, which sold for and $50 from 1997, all about the Sega World that was in Sydney that closed down. Huge collector's market for it. That is a, I guess, a destination or an old amusement park that you should be looking out for. But the third one, which is now my, this is the third one I'm talking about. My number one Sonic sale of all time, barring these books that I've just sold, was a Sonic t-shirt that I found in a garage sale, actually. I paid $20 for it, and it sold for $300. So now we have all of those Sonic sales. These Sonic books go on to, I mean, they're the number one by far, five times over. $60 into $1,600. $1,600. If you want to see me finding these, I'll actually be putting up a video on social media, I guess, when this goes live. So you'll be able to see what they look like on social media. You don't have to go over to the newsletter and subscribe and do something good for me. Just go watch some brain rot content on social media. So you see a Sonic, you buy a Sonic after doing comps. Yeah, don't see a Sonic, buy a Sonic without doing comps. Wow. Okay. I think all the rest of my sales are going to pale in comparison to that. It's downhill from here. Please stick around though. Don't tune out after hearing my number one sale of all time, because like I said, I have something really bad to show you at the end of this. So what else do we have here? We're just going to run through these, I guess. We have the Wiggles DVDs that I picked up from last week. I got them for free. There was 20 in total. They were the DVDs that have the carry handle in them. They have the modern cast, none of the original cast. They sold within a week for $100. Now, I did that with free postage. So after all the fees, I'd be left with something like $65 or $70. But that doesn't help you out. So I just wanted to calculate what you'd have to buy these for if you were going to replicate this success. Now, before I tell you the numbers, you just have to realize that two of these DVDs in the 20 DVD bundle were Christmas related, and I put them at the front of the photo. So perhaps they're being bought with that in mind, with Christmas coming up, so you might not have similar success. You may not sell them within a week like me. But if you're going to try, you really need to be getting these DVDs for at least nothing more than a dollar. Because if you get them for a dollar, that's $20 for the 20. And then you have your postage and your eBay fees. I had a 3% promoted rate. If you ship them off with Australia Post, you'd be charged maybe like $19. I think that's what I was charged. And you would be left with a $44.30 profit margin. So that isn't too bad. You know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. $44 after spending $20 on the physical media plus the postage and your eBay fees, whatever, $44. So that's at a dollar a DVD. If you were getting them for anything more than that, like if you paid $2 per DVD, your profit would drop down to like $24. So you'd have to be, it just doesn't really make sense. You'd be spending like $40 on the DVDs, $19 on the postage, and then what, like another $19 in fees just to be making $24. It's not that great. You know, I wouldn't be fucking around with that. I mean, you'd end up with 1,000 DVDs in your place. And we're not trying to do that. We're not trying to fucking sell thousands of DVDs to make very little money. We're not in the volume game. Here on Flip Weekly, we're trying to find items for like a dollar to sell for 100, right? We don't want to be making $5 profit, $10 profit, $15 profit. That's why I try and only focus on items that are selling for a bit of money. The only reason I got these Wiggles DVDs was because they were free and right near another Facebook Marketplace pickup. So yeah, they're out the door for $100. If you're going to do it, maybe focus on the Wiggles DVDs that actually sell for over $100. They're the TV series 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Get the entire bundle. Could probably sell them for $1,000. And yeah, if you're doing these modern day ones, the ones with the carry handles, you're going to be doing a volume-based sale, which I wouldn't really bother with. But anyway, the next sale after that, something I have no idea what it really was, found in a Savers for $8. It looks like some sort of like specialized tool. It looks complicated. I don't know any of these words really. It was called a Klein Tools VDV Scout Pro 3 Tester Kit. Now, none of those words really mean that much to me. Tester kit, I can make an assumption that this tests something. But I don't know what VDV is. I don't know what Scout Pro is. That sounds like a brand. Client Tools is obviously the brand. Yeah, it looks like you plug maybe an Ethernet cable or a phone cable into this thing and then it shows a whole bunch of digits on the screen. Either way, it was brand new in its packaging, and when I saw it at Savers, I thought, well, complicated usually means expensive. That's why fucking lawyers use their complex legal jargon so they can charge you out the ass for something that everyone could do, right? So I ended up buying it. It was $8. It has sold for $150. When I was doing the comps, I could see that it was worth around $180 on eBay, and the sell-through rate worldwide was good. But when we narrowed it down to within Australia, we had what essentially was one sale per month. Now, again, here on Flip Weekly, we like to have positive sell-through rates. We don't want to be buying something that is going to sit around for ages. You know, have all these resellers going off and picking up shit that isn't going to sell quickly just because, oh, I could turn this $1 item's worth $30, not realizing that the sell-through rate is non-existent, so it's not going to sell at all within fucking 12 months' time, if not more. You know, it's like going out and buying Bruce Almighty on DVD. Bruce Almighty is one of the worst things you can sell on DVD. It sells maybe around 9 per month, but I guarantee if you buy Bruce Almighty on DVD, it will not sell for fucking years just because there's so many. So when I saw that this only had one sale per month, the only thing I could do to try and get my $150 sale price was undercut everyone else and just hope that I was that one sale for the month. And it turns out I was. I chucked mine up for about $30 less than everyone else. And yeah, it sold. And it sold quickly too. When did I buy this? In October. It's only November now. So that's $8 into $150 in less than a month for an item that I still don't really know what it does. So yeah, if you are a bit confused about sell-through rate, go on to flipweekly.com. We have so many free resources there that you can use. You don't have to pay anything for them. I have an entire article about how to calculate an eBay sell-through rate, and it is what can help you make better decisions when you're buying, right? You don't have to subscribe. You just can go on to flipweekly.com and see it. There's a little calculator there that can help you. There's examples. And it's how I'm able to just buy an item without looking it up because you just know that the sell-through rate's going to be high. High sell-through rate, high sale price. They're what we're after, right? Like a lot of resellers, again, fuck them, taking shots at these unnamed resellers. They just talk about the average sale price. Don't talk about the sell-through rate. We're going for both. And we're trying to, yeah. I mean, we're just trying to make some money, right? That's all we're trying to do. So check that out if you're unsure. Speaking of sell-through rate, we had a couple of those Nintendo GameCube games sell. I think it was last week we got 5 Nintendo GameCube games for $10 each, $50 in total. We have 2 sales. One was Luigi's Mansion for $90. The other was Mario Kart Double Dash for $80. Now, I said to you last week that I do not understand the appeal of GameCube games. At the time, I had no idea why people were harping on about them when the games that I bought were just like your run-of-the-mill games that they weren't, you know, $200 for a GameCube game. They were just, you know, $50 to $100. Like, that's still a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But I just didn't really understand. And I guess having these sell-through rates of under 7 days, like one was 5, one was, I think, 6, that must be why people like selling these games, just because they sell so quickly, right? The thing is, I don't know if it's just me, all of the games that I listed up, but every single person that bought these, so both of these buyers sent me through messages saying if the games are working fine. I was like, yeah, they're fine. And somebody else messaged me about one of the other GameCube games I have listed saying, you know, is it fine? I was like, yes. Like, why is everyone asking me if these games are fine? Like, I don't understand if it's known within GameCube community that games aren't fine, you know, or if they just look like shit. It must be a common concern. I don't know if I'll be selling GameCube games in the future just because they're so hard to come across. Every single GameCube deal I've found on Facebook Marketplace has gone in like less than, I mean, I could say even less than 60 seconds. They're just, I think people have the automated software set up to send through messages when something is listed for I guess, under a certain price. And I miss out every time because I'm doing it manually. I'm doing it fucking old school, right? I'm doing the scrolling. I'm not using any sort of software. I say it's cheating. It's not really cheating for them to use software. I mean, they're getting deals and they're making money. They're beating me. I should probably be doing that. But no, we're keeping it old school. I'll just come across my deals whenever they pop up on my Facebook Marketplace, I guess. Now, we are so close to Christmas. We have less than a month to go. My sales are up dramatically. I'm like double last year. Not double last year, double last month. Now that I'm saying that out loud, I realize, well, shit, it's because I sold a $1,600 book bundle. It's not because I'm getting more sales. So I sold something that is going to be somebody's Christmas present. I guarantee it. It's a brand new and sealed. It's a Pokemon, how do you pronounce this? Johto? Pokemon Johto Collector's Pokedex book. It's essentially 18 DVDs inside of what looks like a giant Pokemon Pokedex. Found it in a Vinny's for $15. I found it alongside another Pokemon giant Pokedex fucking DVD bundle thing. And this one is the one that sold first. I'm guessing because it's sealed. The other one isn't sealed. So yeah, that's out the door for $130. The entire reason people are buying this is because it is a giant Pokedex, right? Like, you can buy the DVD of this, a Pokemon Johto, the complete DVD, in like a smaller box set for like $50, maybe $60, maybe a tiny bit more. I don't know. This is just like, yeah, I guess like half a meter long and it's shaped like a Pokedex. That's it. I don't know if people are going to be displaying them or keeping them in their plastic, but you know what collectors are like. They buy the weirdest stuff to display. Display, I'll just, oh. I'm talking shit to collectors and I'm about to talk about an item that I wouldn't mind collecting. It's another sale, Sony Walkman in the box. Old school Sony Walkman, you know, playing CDs. I bought it for $25. The LCD screen on the Walkman didn't work. It's out the door for $90 and I'd had it listed up for $150. I think I was losing faith in this Sony Walkman because somebody had bought it previously. They didn't read the listing description, so they sent it back to me saying that, like, well, the LCD screen doesn't work. So I accepted a best offer now of $90. I probably should have held on for that full sale price, but you know, a sale's a sale, right? And it's still close to $100. Now, we do have a few other sales that you can check out on flipweekly.com. I'm not going to run through them right now because I want to get to what I bought for the week. We have marketplace purchases, we have savers purchases, we have some good lifeline purchases. So many fucking purchases, and we have something embarrassing that we're very close to because I can feel it in my fucking bones, right? So here's what I bought. Now, we're starting off in savers, and I do have a bone to pick with savers, but first we're going to be talking about these specific items. Now, look, I know what's on your mind. I know your number one question when you're in a thrift store is, what is the deal with thrift store collectible drinking glasses? What is the deal with them, right? I know that you've seen, you know, the old school Nutella Simpsons collectibles. You've seen probably the Looney Tunes ones. You've seen Blinky Bill. These are all ones that I've seen before. And unless you're getting them for a really cheap price for the entire collection, they're all things that you should probably leave behind. However, I found something this week which is where the value lies in collectible drinking glasses. Okay, I found a brand that created these frosted glasses that are worth picking up, and I'm going to guess that the thrift store employees just aren't privy to at the moment, right? So it's a brand called Monkeys of Melbourne. So this was an Australian company that created licensed products back in the 80s and 90s, and they were known for like hand painting characters on these frosted glasses. People that buy these products, they buy them because of that sort of craftsmanship. They had like a small cult-like following that buy their work. And some of their most valuable frosted glassware, you can see sold comps on eBay for hundreds of dollars. So, like I said, they got licenses from some of the biggest companies in the world. And they hand-painted on these fucking glasses. This, I'm looking at sold comms of, do you remember the Phantom, the purple superhero? He's hand-painted on these Monkeys of Melbourne frosted glass. Sold comms about $165. On the glass, you can see the character and you can also see the words Monkeys of Melbourne. Right, so I think whenever I go into a thrift store now and I see a frosted glass, I'm going to see if there's a character, and I'm also going to see if it has Monkeys of Melbourne on it. Obviously, it's going to be found within Australia and highly likely in Melbourne, but I came across two this week. Monkeys of Melbourne was written on the glasses, and they were Disney branded, right? One of them had Mickey Mouse, one of them had Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse had her name logo on the back of it, whereas the Mickey Mouse one had a shot from Mickey at the front and then from Mickey at the back. I paid $4 for both of them. Now look, I'm doing comps for Monkeys of Melbourne. I see that Phantom glass. I'm thinking, is this an outlier? Is it just Phantom? Because I know Phantom has a huge collector's market. No, I'm seeing a Tweety Bird. Fucking Tweety Bird. The most generic Looney Tune out there. Sold comps for about $90. I'm seeing Ren and Stimpy, $100. These cups, like a single fucking frosted glass. That's what these are comping for. That's crazy money for a glass. Like, I complain when I go to garage sales that all you see is glassware. But you know what? Frosted glass with characters on them, I'm fucking buying now. And no, I'm not going to be buying the Simpsons Nutella, the fucking Blinky Bill shit. That stuff comps up for nothing, right? That's like the Tweety Bird of the Nutella Looney Tunes series, I think is like $5 and probably like $25 in postage, because these cunts would be hard to ship. But yeah, these are just for single glasses. Monkeys of Melbourne, a brand to fucking listen out for. What the fuck am I saying? Look out for. And look, Looney Tunes, it's an IP that I'm not sold on at the moment, right? Like I've sold some Looney Tunes stuff, but I don't know if they've been fluky. They haven't been for like crazy amounts of money, but they've been enough to be like, well, maybe we should keep buying them. We have Monkeys of Melbourne, Tweety for $90, Foghorn Leghorn, we have sold comps about the $60 mark. We have Tassie Devil for $75. So these are like, that's a decent amount of money for fucking Looney Tunes. And Disney, the one that I found, is a bigger brand than Looney Tunes. So I'm thinking I'll be able to get some decent money for these two glasses. Do I think that would be snapped up quickly? Probably not, just because at the same time, they're glasses, right? You know, like you're still paying $100 for a glass. It's a lot of money. But in terms of collectible drinking glasses, that has to be the worst niche. If you're going to niche down and you decide to choose collectible drinking glasses, I cannot think of it. Like that is a horrible decision to be made. I can't imagine the stress you would endure when you ship off one of these cards, right? You'd get constant, like, my item arrived broken all the time. I know I would, because I'd probably forget to pack these things properly. But these are this is a good brand, and ignore all that Nutella bullshit. Monkeys of Melbourne, buy that. Monkeys of Melbourne. How many times am I going to say Monkeys of Melbourne? Now, here's what I have to bitch about with Savers. Savers made the fucking brilliant decision to not just put a price tag on these glasses. I do not know why they do this. They decided to write on the bottom of the glass x2, right? In fucking permanent marker. They've written on a fucking collectible glass in permanent marker x2, instead of just writing it on, I don't know, the fucking price tag, or coming up with a better solution than fucking graffitiing all over these fucking glasses. Like, I swear to God, some of these thrift stores just do not think when they're defiling these collectible items. You know, remember when I bought this Nokia 3315 complete in box, an old school collectible that I ended up selling for $150, but it would have been worth more if this cunt at the thrift store didn't write in pen all over the box, "This is a collectible." How fucking dumb are you? How fucking dumb are you to be writing on a collectible, "This is a collectible"? You're going to go up to the fucking Mona Lisa and write, "This is a cool painting. Everyone look at this fucking painting." It makes me sick. It makes me fucking angry. You're writing on a glass in pen. And you know what? I thought, you know, I should be able to get this off. It's permanent marker on a glass. Like, the two materials must, I don't know, counteract in a way. So I did what you would usually do. I started with some water and it didn't come off. But I'm like, all right, that's not a big deal. It's just water I'm using. Then I moved on to the fucking nail polish remover with the cotton buds and it's not coming off. I'm like, all right, I'm almost out of ideas. You know, I'm not a fucking rocket scientist over here. So I do what anyone would do next is I put them in a warm, soapy water solution in the sink. That's a weird way to say that I was washing them up. So I did that and I let them soak in this fucking water for a while, thinking that the longer they're in the water, maybe that would like counteract the permanent marker. It just makes me remember when my sisters would always, like, they didn't want to wash up trays after cooking, so they'd quote unquote let them soak and just walk away from it for, like, I mean, for the night, right? Come back to the next day, it's all the fucking tray meat and stuff in the water, the water's fucking cold. Just letting the tray soak. How long do you want the stuff to soak for? Overnight. So I'm letting them soak and I convince myself, oh, you know, leave it for a couple of hours and it'll be fine. I go off and do some lazy shit and then I come back to them and it still hasn't come off the glasses. So I get the fucking scrubber thing and I'm scrubbing the bottom of these glasses. I don't want to wreck it. I'm not getting a scour. I'm just getting the cloth thing, right? And I'm scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. And it's like removing tiny bits, but I can still see clearly on the bottom of these frosted glasses, which are supposed to be like these pristine collectible $100 glasses, still the number 2 on the bottom, times 2. And it's just pissing me the fuck off. There has to be a better solution than writing on your products. You're writing on glass. It leads me to, look, Savers has made me into something I don't want to be. And look, I've created something for Savers and it's embarrassing, but you made me do this, Savers. You made me do this.
What's up? This is Matt here from flipweekly.com. About to lay down the 10 biggest things I hate about Savers. Stay tuned for the things that I love. Flipweekly.com, let's go. Heading to Savers where the pocket's full of money. Fast food surrounding will give us funny tummy. Walk through the doors and hide where I figure. They're way ahead. Lighting makes the iPhone flicker. Rare glass, we come across it now and then. Oh, not today, Matt. It's beat masked in pen. Tuesday, harvest, we're avoiding the crowd. All that's in the air is be you and be proud. On the hooks, random mix of broken toys and flags. Don't tell Savers soon I'd be in bloody separate packs. See something cool, so I check the price tag. Get normal pricing, $12.37 for a bag. Onto the pants, this trip is a botch. Just gotten worse as blood stain in the crotch. Now the exit, no awkward encounter. Skip there, it's overpriced behind the counter. Paying ye now, I'm not an amateur. Asking cash or card, I'm at the register. Got my things, here's my tip to improve. For the love of God, get stickers that can be removed.
So that happened. That happened. Something not cool just happened. As my 10 things that I hate about Savers, maybe I'll come up with a 10 things I love about Savers if I can fucking find 10 things that I love about Savers. Besides the fact that they make money, I'll fucking have to scrape the bottom of the barrel to try and figure that out. But we're never going to talk about that ever again. I'm so glad that not many people I know in real life listen to this podcast, because I would never live that down. Let's just move on without dissecting. So Let's talk about items that we can sell for $100 or more. This next item I found in a Savers. Thanks, Savers. What did I pay for it? I paid $5.49. I'm guessing people haven't caught on yet, and I can just scream it to you as many times as I can to be finding these things and to be buying them. There are the cruise ship models, the little resin models of cruise ships. If you see one photo of these, you'd see them all. They're pretty much all the exact same model, just with different painting and a different cruise name on them. They're about 30 centimeters long, quite heavy, and they're souvenirs for people that cruise, I guess. So yeah, I paid $5.49 for the Celebrity Solstice. I'm generally curious why they're called celebrity cruise ships. If anybody knows, please tell me. But I got this for $5.49. Every single time I've found one of these cruise ship models, I've been able to sell it within like a month and for a lot of money. Every one of these usually sells for about $100. This one, I guess, must be a bit rarer. I don't fucking know why. I saw a sold comp for $162, which is the higher end of these cruise ship models. Why is it rarer? I don't know. Maybe the cruise ship doesn't exist anymore, so they're not selling these on board. I don't even know if you can buy these on board. I know there's shops on board cruise ships. I just cannot imagine why somebody would be on a cruise ship, then go and buy a cruise ship model. It would be like the flight attendant walking down the aisle selling you a model of the plane. I guess people buy them as souvenirs to say that they were on a cruise for whatever reason. But yeah, I listed that up for about $150. It hasn't sold just yet, but I mean, it's already got people watching it, and these cruise ship things, they go crazy. So please buy them from thrift stores if you ever see them. I bought one from Lifeline maybe a month ago. They were going to throw it out. That one ended up going on to sell. Remember I had that conversation, and every single employee in the Lifeline commented on this cruise ship thing that I had in my hands. So yeah, that would be $5 into $150. It's not the most exciting thing, but when I see it in a Savers, I'm like, well, I can't pass it up because it's $150, right? Now, in that Lifeline that I found the $2 cruise ship model, I found something this week that was really cool. It was on my mind because earlier this week I saw that Toy Story has released a teaser trailer for the number 5 film in the Toy Story franchise. So that's going to be out in June 2026. And, you know, this is a fucking Disney Pixar movie. It's going to have a budget that is $100 million plus. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be impossible to escape. So in the beginning of 2026, when Toy Story is everywhere, this is a chance for you to capitalize on it. You know, Toy Story spending $100 million on marketing, you're not going to be needing to do that much marketing yourself. So, with that in mind, we think that any good quality Toy Story merch, toy, whatever, between now and then should sell and sell quickly, right? So, enter the litmus test. So, I've been wanting to use that word for a while because I recently learned it. Litmus test. A litmus test refers to an opinion, action, or event used to make a clear judgment about someone or something, often indicating broader views or predicting future actions. So ladies and gentlemen, the litmus test. For $4, I found a Toy Story Bucket O' Soldiers. Bucket of soldiers. If you remember in the original Toy Story movie, you had those toy soldiers that went downstairs in Andy's house to spy on Andy getting new presents, right? They came out of this little American-themed bucket. Well, I found that bucket in a thrift store. It was beat up, man. Like, it had these stickers on the top of it where were all sort of shabby. The wrapping on the side of it saying Bucket of Soldiers was a bit torn. But for $4, after I checked the sold comps, I had to get it. So inside the bucket were the soldiers. They had, one of them had a parachute, and it was released in, I think it was like the late 90s by a company called Thinkway. It was re-released in the middle 2000s, early 2000s, middle 2000s, by the same company, I think, but the 1995 version and the 2009 version are worth a lot of money, right? When I say a lot of money, We have sold comps of these Bucket O Soldiers. If you can find it brand new for $180, if you can find it secondhand for $120. Now, this is just a bucket filled with those little green soldiers. It has Toy Story branding on it. That's why people are buying it, because it's Toy Story branded. I don't know if they've re-released these since the second reissue, which was in 2009. So the original 1995, the reissue 2009. Since then, I don't think there's anything. Probably because, I mean, these are kids' toys and the soldiers, they might be choking hazards. They might be. So they, I mean, I'm spitballing here why a company wouldn't release these. It's probably because kids don't fucking play with toys anymore. Ah, that's a good movie idea. That's literally what Toy Story 5 is about. Kids aren't playing with toys. They're just using their iPads, right? So why would they reissue this bucket of soldiers? No kid is going to play with a bucket of soldiers. And it's a choking hazard. That makes sense. But, I mean, if a kid chokes on one of these, is it not their fault? Oh, no, that's not a nice thing to say. But yeah, we can get over $100. I can see an active comp for the 1995 original, which is the one I picked up. It has 82 soldiers inside, including one with a parachute. I could only find one active listing for this. It was listed up for $150 within Australia with 7 people watching. I mean, I might be able to get that. I might be able to get $100. And yeah, look, the odds of you finding this in a thrift store right now are probably pretty low, but you'd be able to find so much Toy Story shit between now and when the movie comes out. And I do think that we can piggyback as resellers on trends, on outside factors, right? Like if there's something going on in the real world, because we don't live in the real world, we can piggyback on it. For example, sporting events, upcoming sporting events, upcoming seasons, fucking Christmas is coming up. Maybe you can find some vintage Christmas shit that, I don't know, people would buy. Just outside factors, man. Just think about that. So that Toy Story thing listed up, I think I did it $100. I think maybe $80, whatever it is. I mean, I think it's going to sell, but yeah, moving on. A different Lifeline, but fuck, I had some good luck on Lifeline lately. Found a DVD series that we'll be listing up, not for $50, not for $100, not even $150, we're listing up for $200. Now, this is a box set of, I was going to say a TV show, but it's really a webisode. Show called Red versus Blue. Now, look, I'm very aware of this series that started out, back when the internet was fucking fun, right? Before it wasn't pop-up ads and continue without supporting this fucking news article that you want to read online and then agreeing that they're all their pop-ups and not pop-ups, all their cookies can be stored on your computer. Like, why? This is back when it was fun. People were creating things for fun. They were creating these webisodes. What they essentially did was they recorded themselves playing Halo, the video game, but they weren't going around like shooting and just talking like the fucking dumb streamers that you have now, right? They were creating like little episodes where they would stand next to each other and they would have conversations and shit, scripted, but being recorded at the same time. It was, I was going to say genuinely hilarious, but I never really watched it. I did pretend to like it because I had a friend of mine back in the day, massive stoner, was trying to convince me like, you have to check out this really cool Halo show, Red versus Blue. He would always be watching it, always be trying to get me to watch it, and I just couldn't focus on it. So, but I'm very, very aware of it. And it ran for a while. It ran from 2003 to 2021. It isn't that much of a surprise considering the early days was, it's not like a studio show. This is like a bunch of dudes just recording a video game and doing a crappy voiceover. Like, obviously, over time, the more popular it got, it turned into like this whole collaboration with the company that makes Halo, which I think is Microsoft. And then, yeah, deals were made and it became a thing to the point where they got released as DVDs, right? So I saw this DVD box set in the Lifeline for $30. You can see the Halo mask on the front of it. And I was like, boom, I know this is worth money. I'm not going to comp this up until I get home. Have you ever done that before when you're out thrifting and just sort of to keep yourself motivated? You don't comp up like something you know is going to be a home run, because it's always like an incentive to keep going, like an incentive to like work harder. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Work harder, go on thrifting. It's not hard. But I kept that in the back of my mind because it kept me excited. Like, oh, I can't wait to get home and comp this up. So it was the box set of season 1 to 10. And when I was in this Lifeline, I thought, well, there's 20-ish seasons, 19 seasons of this show, and this is season 1 to 10. Can I find any more? And I was looking around, and I could find season 11, 12, and 13, just hiding in the little DVD section, and each DVD was an extra $2, so I paid $36 in total. The box set of season 1 to 10 sells for just over $100. Because I was able to find that 11, 12, and 13, we can differentiate ourselves from everyone else that's listing up. And I mean, this isn't a show that is easy to find. Like, this is a hard show. This is rare. This is something that you're not going to be seeing thousands of listings on eBay. The later seasons of this show are more difficult to find, hence the prices on, you know, season 15, 16, whatever, they are insanely high. So to be able to find season 1 to 13, we're going to list this up. Well, we have listed it up for $200. Now, these are region-free DVDs, meaning I can sell it to any fucking country in the world. I mean, not USA. We can't ship to the USA because I still haven't bothered with Zonos, even though I get reminded every time I go to the post office. I think I'll just wait for the tariff issue to stop, maybe for a bit of flip-flopping. I think that will happen. I really do think it will happen. Either that or we just have to wait out the next 3 years, but I think some flip-flopping will go. That will happen. So yeah, that will be $36 into $200. I've had a message from somebody already asking about the region-free issue and whether or not they'll buy them. I think they will, because I don't know. It's just something us resellers say, right? Like, I think it will sell. How many times you hear a reseller say, I think this will do well. I think this will sell. So yeah, that was that were our big hitters for the buys of the week. But they were in thrift stores. How'd we do with Facebook Marketplace? You know, every weekend I like to spend some time on Facebook Marketplace just to see what's out there. They're the best days to get good deals on Facebook. Saturdays and Sundays, that's when people are clearing out their garages. In this dude's case, clearing out his basement. And what did we do? We were able to find a fucking Nintendo 64 bundle. What up? What up? Now, this was an unusual find on Facebook Marketplace because it was up for a bit longer than what a usual Nintendo 64 bundle would be up for. Now, these are usually snapped up within the first few minutes. This was up for, fuck, I don't know, maybe like 15, 20 minutes. So I was surprised when I clicked that button saying, you know, is this still available? And I got an instant like, yes, are you interested? So then I'm thinking, well, why? You know, why? Here's what I imagine people were concerned about. First, the price. The price of the bundle was $300. Now, that's a lot of money. When you see that amount of money for a console bundle, you start to think that the person might be a reseller. They might know something you don't. But I don't know, I didn't see this person as a reseller. Didn't have many ratings. They didn't have many listings either. They just had this. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. Let's ignore the price. Now, the quality was something else I think people were worried about, and the legitimacy. Legitimacy. Let me explain to you why. I could see down in the listing description that everything was listed out, which came with it. But one of the things it said was 5 controllers, but then in brackets, it said need repair. So that's a bit of a red flag. And then we take a look at the photos. And whilst we've got all the classics, we have all the regular games like GoldenEye and Mario Kart, we don't have too many heavy hitters. We don't have any that are going to be selling for like $400 or $500 like we did with that last Nintendo 64 bundle where we sold StarCraft for $500, which was insane. If anything, you could really call these like I mean, the bread and butter of Nintendo 64 games, right? And that title is appropriate considering some of these cartridges, they looked like they had been used as a fucking butter board because they had scratched labels. The carts were all gross. I mean, some of them had like stuff on them that I don't know what they are. But you know what's gross about it is that it comes off. You know, I don't know what it is. Like, in my mind, I was thinking, I guess, worst case scenario, it looked like a pound of somebody's dried boogers just smeared all over this shit. Yeah, it fucking gross. That was worst case scenario. I sort of chalked it up to like, oh, it's paint. Even though it's not paint. I don't know what it is. Take a look at the photos and take a guess. But it looks like somebody blew their nose all over these labels. That said, I have sold Nintendo 64 games before without labels on them. And labels that have completely sun faded. So it didn't really bother me. I was like, fine, I'll go out and get it. Paid $300 total, brought it back. And I mean, was I happy with it? I think I was content with it. I wasn't over the moon because one of the games that I saw in the photo, the only one I comped up was Mario Party 2. Now, Mario Party 2 on Nintendo 64 is a good game to be buying because it sells on eBay for about $160. But once I got this back and I pulled this game out, I took one look at it and I was like, this doesn't look real. There's something off about this. And then I noticed the rating in the bottom left. It wasn't the regular Australian rating and Australian label. It had an E for everyone. Now, that means it's the NTSC version, which isn't a good thing for us Australians. And then because that put me off, I took a closer look at it and I'm like, well, the logos on this game look blurry. The label on the front is off-centered and the pins inside looked really, really clean. And then, of course, the cartridge itself was in pristine condition, which is like contrasted by the fact that every other game looked like it was pulled out of fucking dumpster. So I'm pretty sure this game was fake. So that is one reason why I think some people were put off from buying this bundle. Maybe the more experienced video game resellers saw that game and thought, well, everything else, you know, it puts the legitimacy of everything else up in the air. But for me, as somebody that, I mean, I don't focus on video games. If I see a bundle like this, I'll take a shot at it. And when you're trying to secure a deal like this, it's moving so quickly that you don't want to be saying like, is this game real? Is this game fake? Because people are just going to like fucking move on to the next person. They would have got inundated with messages. So that game was fake. Luckily, every other game was real. In terms of the controllers, two of them ended up working. Three of them, the joysticks were not completely fucked. I tried Mario Kart with every single joystick, all five joysticks. You could technically play it. It's just they weren't that great. So it could be sold with two working and three not working, but they're all authentic original Nintendo controllers. So here's what was included. I paid $300 for all of this. We had Diddy Kong Racing worth $50, GoldenEye worth $50, Mario Kart worth $50, Pokemon Stadium plus a transfer pack, $120. Cruisin' World and Cruisin' USA sold as a deal for $100. Nintendo 64 console plus 5 controllers plus a transfer pack, all the cords and an extra 4 games, $400. Super Mario, $60. And a 10 cartridge storage stand in a 2-pack, $70. That's one thing I like about getting these deals with people that may not know that the stands, the bags, the carry cases, like, they're worth money, especially if they're Nintendo branded. So this one came with a 2-pack of storage stands for the cartridges, and they're worth about $70. In terms of the games that I'm bundling with the Nintendo 64 console, it's basically three games that aren't worth that much money, and then one game to attract eyeballs to it. So the three games, I don't have them in front of me, but they're basically like the Pod Racing Star Wars game and like a Top Gear Rally game. There's one other one, but then the one to draw eyeballs is Pokemon Snap. So that way you're able to say that like it's like a Pokemon bundle, right? Like even though it comes with just one game, it's still a Pokemon bundle. It can get eyeballs to it because it's Pokemon. And again, because it's just before Christmas, we might be able to get some money for it. So that total stands at $900. That's a $900 listed value from $300 spend. After fees, after post, we should be able to double our money on that end. Again, the reason why I outlaid $300 was because Nintendo 64 sells quickly. And like I was saying earlier about sell-through rate, if you know the sell-through rate for items, it helps you price them up. For example, GoldenEye on Nintendo 64 sells every single fucking day. It has a really, really high sell-through rate. But the cheapest one on eBay right now is $35. So if you're brand new to reselling, you would see that $35 as the cheapest, and you might want to undercut them and list for $30. I wouldn't do that because I know the sell-through rate is so high that if I list mine up for $50, eventually it's going to sell. And when I say eventually, I mean it's going to sell quite quickly because the sell-through rate's so high. It's such a sought-after game. And you never know, your version of GoldenEye might be in a bit of condition. Wow, what was that? Bit better condition than someone else's, so then you'll get that sale. It's not like it just sells every day for like that $50 price point. I'm not going to list it for cheaper than anyone else. I'm not going to undercut them because we know that sell-through rate. So that was a good find on Facebook Marketplace. I wish I could have got it cheaper. And I wish some of those controllers were working, and I wish that Mario Party, well, I wish for a lot of things, right? But either way, we're going to make listed value $900. So we can't complain about 300 into what will eventually be like $600-$700. Now we do have a few other finds for this week, including items. I mean, the other stuff in the newsletter is all listed up for over $100. Like, this is what you see that TikTok there, it's like, this is what we fucking do. This is what we fucking do, folks. We find items in thrift stores that we can list up on eBay for over $100. No $5 profit margins here. We're aiming high, you know? Play with the big boys. So yeah, I think that's about it that I've got for you this week. You know, again, really, really happy with that insane $1,600 thrift store flip. The biggest of all time for me. I can't imagine writing another newsletter or creating another podcast saying my biggest ever thrift store flip and it being more than that. I don't know what it would be. I don't know where it would come from. To be more than $1,600 would blow my mind again. And look, if you're sitting there and you're like, $1,600, man, I've done more than that in a day. I would love to know what you've found and flipped for more than $1,600 and what you paid for it too. Because look, we're all fucking learning here. We're just trying to make some money. So yeah, that's all I've got for you. Look, thanks again for listening. If you are listening on Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Any other podcast app, give us a 5-star rating there. And look, thanks again for listening. I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 fl